Hello, welcome to the Thursday, October 22nd, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Bentonville, Arkansas. And I learned there is a second listener here in Bentonville, so a quick shout out to Dave Hausem for listening to this podcast. And today we had a great example for the power of the Internet Storm Center hive mind in decoding these sometimes somewhat odd observations that we get from our readers. We did receive an odd DNS text record that a reader found in a decommissioned DNS server. Well, didn't really know much what to make of it, but one reader pointed out it's actually ASCII art for a face, and after seeing that, the submitter realized that this was left behind, probably by a coworker, as a little Easter egg. So while this Easter egg apparently did survive for a couple years on this server, not everything is an advanced persistent threat. Sometimes it's just a fairly persistent joke. And Apple today had one of its unscheduled and massive patch updates. With that, it released updates for pretty much every product that Apple produces. The one exception, I couldn't see an update yet for Apple TV. Maybe that's going to come later. But starting with iOS 9.1, that applies to iPhone 4S and later, as well as 45th generation iPod Touch and iPad 2 and later. Probably the most notable part of this release is that it fixes a number of WebKit vulnerabilities. The update also addresses a good number of issues in the font parser. That's a component that has had issues on OS X, iOS, and of course similar components also had problems on Windows. Watch OS is moving up now to 2.0.1, total of 14 vulnerabilities here. There's one interesting one, CVE-2015-5916. This vulnerability apparently affects Apple Pay and may allow malicious terminals to retrieve partial transaction histories. An issue like that was already fixed in the last update to WatchOS. That was WatchOS 2. Then we have a new version of Safari, Safari 9.01, again focusing mostly on WebKit vulnerabilities here. Similar, the iTunes update, also WebKit vulnerabilities are being patched here in iTunes. iTunes, of course, affects Windows, so this is an update for Windows. Then an interesting update for EFI, that's the firmware that Apple uses in its laptops and desktops. Now here Apple removed some unused functions that could have been abused to compromise the system. Of course, lately we had a lot of attention paid to firmware vulnerabilities. And then, of course, an update for Apple OS X. That's now 10.11.1. That's the latest version, El Capitan. 41 vulnerabilities, if I counted correctly. Also, WebKit and Font Parser are sort of the leading vulnerabilities here. If you do update to OS 10.11.1, you'll also automatically get the update for Safari. So there is no separate update for Safari here for El Capitan users. And of course, the server variant of OS 10 was patched as well. That's now at OS 10 Server 5.0.15 and the respective update for Xcode, which is now at Xcode 7.1. So busy patching here, nothing super urgent, like nothing of this is, as far as I know, being exploited right now, but certainly something you probably should get to, given the increased attention we are seeing being paid to OS X exploits. And earlier this week, I reported about the compromise of Magento-based e-commerce websites and how a site, GuruInkSite.com, was used to include exploit kits. Well, we got now more details here from Pratt, who did a nice write-up with samples for how this particular exploit kit spread. He identified it as the Neutrino exploit kit, which was used in these compromises. And then we also got patches from Cisco for their ASA software. Now there are three denial of service vulnerabilities being patched here. One for DHCP version 6 relays, one for DNS, and the third one for the VPN IsaCamp functionality. And the paper published by researchers at Boston University does summarize some interesting attacks against NTP. Nothing here super groundbreaking, but a good reminder and a real good summary of the effect that some of these attacks may have on cryptography, given that, for example, HTTPS certificates are valid for a certain time frame, and by resetting a clock to a prior date, it may be possible to use an old compromised certificate. Similar with DNSSEC, where signatures are kept with a fairly short expiration time, in part because of the somewhat weak keys being used for zone signing keys. In this case, it could then be possible to reuse an older signature. So interesting little write-up, and certainly NTP is one of those infrastructure systems that's often somewhat neglected, so certainly makes a good read. And this is it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.